striking alliance of alert attendees. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 196, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your squires scavenging and sifting for science and scintillating stuff.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. Karen, you've got you got it. And that's the theme of today's episode. What's on salty. My mouth?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll be the judge of that.
You guys are weird.
We have a book
that
we wrote
with words.
Of trivia with many correctly spelled words.
Yeah.
Which we would like it's called Good Job Brain. Then there's a subtitle. Mm-hmm. You can find us. I don't want to say wherever books are sold, because
in most places
you can't find it wherever books are sold. Right. You can find it on Amazon, and you can find it on Barnes and Noble. Lots of our greatest hits from the show. Also, a lot of new materials and pen and paper puzzles
illustrated 100% by us.
By us, you mean you guys,
right?
Because I did not illustrate.
You directed some stuff.
Yeah, you are directed. You sketched. You're like,
right.
Can you draw something like this?
Right.
It takes a village to illustrate a Good Job Brain trivia book.
Indeed,
we're proud of it.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun making it. And we will probably be having some more in-person events coming up, and we will let you guys know whenever we do. And anytime we have an in-person event, we will bring some books with us. Mm-hmm. We will sign your books if you bring them there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll throw books at random passersby just as we're driving on the street. Yeah, anything we can do to get it
could
out there.
Could be you.
So watch out.
Does have a t-shirt cannon and some book cannon. Just hitting people randomly. With that said, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot.
All right.
And here I have a random assortment of Trivial Pursuit cards drawn from the box, completely at random, different versions. You guys have Barnyard Buzzers and random, so...
Okay.
Chris, left or right hand?
Left hand.
Okay. Dana, left or right hand?
Right hand.
Colin,
left hand.
Right hand. Yeah, this is genus 4.
Good. Again. Just give me that pure genus.
Okay. Here we go. Blue Wedge, first question. Blue Wedge for people and places. What African country has 13 official languages?
Whoa.
Wow.
So interesting. Dana.
South Africa?
It is South Africa.
Yes. Nice.
Let's look this up.
They have a lot of tribes.
Wikipedia says it has 11.
Oh.
Okay.
So they've consolidated two of them card was made.
So, yeah. So it's been... So instead of 13, as of right now, there are 11 official languages of South Africa. Afrikaans, English... Ndebele, Northern Sotho, Swazi, Tonga, Tswana, Venda, Xhosa, and Zulu.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of tribal languages and English and Afrikaans.
Huh.
All right, Pink Wedge for Arts and Entertainment. Who did Richard Burton, quoting Churchill, refer to as, quote, a secret wrapped in an enigma inside a mystery?
Oh, that's a good
quote. I hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Chris.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
His wife.
Mm-hmm. Two times.
Twice. Ex-wife. Twice.
He referred to her and Winston Churchill as that?
Quoting Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay.
Yellow Edge for history. Who failed to heed the advice of his scouts, Mitch Boyer and Bloody Knife? Chris.
General Custer.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know that part of history. George Armstrong Custer.
Yes.
The battle did not go well for him.
Got it.
They were like, definitely don't do this. And he was like, whatevs.
I do what I want.
Yeah. You don't know me. Purple Wedge Force. Purple or brown? It's brown. I don't, oh my God. Why does it look purple to me?
Oh, yeah. It does look a little purple.
Is it black or blue or white and gold? All right. Science and Nature. What's the common name for a cubic decimeter?
A cubic decimeter?
The common name for...
So a decimeter is 10 meters. And then it's cubic.
No, so wouldn't that be a deca?
Decimeter. So it's so a tenth of a meter.
It's 10 centimeters.
10
right?
centimeters, and then it's cubic.
Yeah.
Chris.
1 liter.
Correct! Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Yes.
Metric system.
Metric system. Yeah.
So yes. a liter is a cubic.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It all works.
It all works out.
Yeah. Yeah. My car gets 10 rods to the hogshead. That's the way I do it.
Gets.
Is that from something?
I think so. Yeah,
it's good. Yeah.
Green Wedge for Sports and Leisure. What 7'2" Chicago Bulls hoopster was the first Australian to play in the NBA?
Whoa.
Wow, his name is very appropriate.
I can based on the era. Yes, that's
Colin, of course.
That was Luke Longley.
Correct. His last name is Longley.
Longley. Oh. Mm-hmm. Luke Longley.
I thought you meant because of the Australian part.
Last question, wild card, Orange Wedge. What Robert Heinlein book title can be found in Exodus 2:22?
Oh, the Heinlein.
I don't know. How do you pronounce 2:22?
2:22.
Okay. Exodus 2:22.
I was never a big Heinlein fan.
What else did?
Something biblical. Yeah. What is it?
It is Stranger in a Strange Land.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good job, brains.
Well.
That's in We Didn't Start the Fire.
Really?
Stranger in the
Stranger. Berlin.
That's
the song.
That's it.
We got a lot of mad Heinlein fans, but maybe we made it back with some happy Billy Joel fans.
Right. Except they just were like, bing, bing, bing.
Exactly.
Let's alienate everybody.
All right, today's episode. It was a funny story because usually we kind of pull together and think of concepts, themes for future shows. Colin, you suggested villains, and I was like, oh, that's great. And we have done some villain stuff before, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Have we ever done a hero show?
It's crazy. If you said we had never done a hero show, I would have called you a liar to your face.
We've done villains. We've talked about anti-heroes and bad guys and super villains, but never celebrated the actual hero.
I like that you were like, oh, good, I can do my sandwich quiz now.
So sandwich quiz is definitely in the cards.
Way to tip your hand.
Yeah.
Tip your sandwich hand.
So this week we're holding out for a hero.
It's been a while. Larger than life.
It's gotta be good with a knife.
Really?
No.
It fits, though. It fits. Yeah.
I'm arguing with it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was really funny.
Pregnancy, right? You're laughing at non-funny jokes.
No, it was awesome. Like, in my mind, I was like, he's gonna be good with a knife. And I was like, what do you need him to do?
What is the song about? You clearly need a hero. You're in a very specific jam.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna start us off with a quiz. A general quiz about heroes. Heroes feast. Poo-poo platter. A heroic poo-poo platter, maybe.
Of heroic deeds.
So all of the questions have something to do with heroes or heroic things.
Okay.
Right. You guys buzz in with the answers.
Real life heroes, fictional heroes, maybe.
All
right, we'll see where it takes us.
And the listeners, again, so my dog buzzer is low on battery, so I'm going to woof.
Okay.
Instead of buzzing it.
In the 2005 version of the video game series Guitar Hero, players could simulate playing which roles in a band?
2005 version of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, so later they added more instruments, but in 2005 when they first released this video game, what did you play in the band?
Woof, 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 woof.
Colin?
I think it was just guitar and bass.
I think what you're looking for is lead guitar, and rhythm, bass, and also rhythm guitar.
Yes, yeah, okay. Those three.
You're right.
And then they added vocals and drums later, a couple years later. All right. The Hero's Journey is a common narrative template. Who introduced the Hero's Journey? Colin got it first, yes?
That's Joseph Campbell.
Joseph Campbell. Yep. The song Hero by Enrique Iglesias was released 8 days before what historic event, which actually gave his song more meaning?
Huh.
Chris.
September 11?
September 11.
Oh, whoa.
I did not remember that.
Wow.
And then like 10 days later at the benefit for the first responders, he performed it. And then it became kind of like the first responder song.
Wow. Okay.
Which 1981 TV show was about a teacher given superhuman abilities?
Oh,
I loved the show.
Colin.
It's The Greatest American Hero.
Yes. I love the song for it.
I loved
that
show.
We had to sing it in choir when I was in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah, it was
it's
really.
So 80s.
It's so 80s. And finally, this one is a sciencey one. Hero is the genus name for what type of mollusk?
Oh, H-E-R-O?
Yeah.
Huh, what type of mollusk?
Oh, man. Whoa.
Karen.
Oyster.
No. Chris.
Mussels.
No. Oh, that would have been good.
Wouldn't
but no.
it have been?
Oh, mussels. Oh. See, I was thinking like Hero, Hera, Greek mythology, oyster. Right. I don't know. Wow. Like,
would have been good. You want to just guess?
Barnacles.
Clams.
Sea slugs.
Ha!
Sea slugs.
Hero.
Yeah. Did you know that most mollusks are slugs?
Oh, okay.
So you should guess
shell.
Oh, because they're the thing in the shell. They just don't have the little eye probes.
Yeah.
These are all scientific terms.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, little eye probes.
Very much so.
Highly scientific.
The eye stalks.
Well,
the eye stalks. Right. Yeah. That's right.
We had a whole show
about parasite eye stalks. Oh.
Well, Dana, let me thank you for implanting the Enrique Iglesias song in my head for the next 2 weeks. It's just going to be looping through there right now.
You need a fan in front of you, just blow the shirt back. I can be. All right, my turn, and it was teased already not 5 minutes ago in the show. I've been sitting, a little backstory. There are two bookmarked Wikipedia links that have in my browser. There's two permanently bookmarked, not permanently, but you know what I mean. One is a list of cakes and one is a list of sandwiches.
Okay.
And I kid you not, you know, maybe like once a quarter, once a season, I'll revisit and be like, I need to read all the.
See what's changed.
Yeah. All. It's not just, it's global.
Keep up with the sandwich
just
news.
Going back to an old friend.
All the links are purple because I've clicked on them before. Yeah. But it's like, oh, yes, this sandwich.
Oh, lavash. Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It's so interesting. I just reread it. I was like, yeah, wow, that's so cool. Maybe I'll click into the links. There's pictures, too.
Because, like,
you know, Wikipedia lists, they'll say the name and the picture and then, like, you know, a little description.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so not therapeutic, but like, it's so interesting to me. And I've done a dessert quiz in the past, and it was like based on that. We had talked about the hummingbird cake. And so why I like it is because not only because I like cakes and sandwiches, but I like reading about the variety of these food items and also like kind of their origin. And it's just, I don't know, it's so captivating to me, just read them over and over. And finally, and I've pitched this before, it's been years and years that I've been pitching an episode all themed on sandwiches because of this list. And you guys are all like, man, this is really specific.
I would do it.
We don't understand the world of sandwiches. Like, really? We don't see the potential.
Do you feel it? I feel inspired now. I would do an episode on sandwiches.
The whole hour
now.
on sandwiches.
Let's do it.
Okay. Once we decided the topic of hero. I was like, hero is also a word for sandwiches.
Yeah.
I can finally do my sandwich quiz since we don't have a sandwich-themed show. Hence...
This is the backdoor sandwich quiz. Yeah.
Backdoor sandwich quiz. I finally been sitting on it for a while. Sandwiches all have very colorful names, very colorful origin stories, and weird contents. Okay. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the ingredients,
okay,
the contents of a sandwich, and a lot of sandwiches have names, and they have really colorful stories about how it came to be. And so I will be reading the ingredients, and then you will be writing down the name of these sandwiches.
All right.
Okay.
For example, if I said thinly sliced steak and melted cheese sauce, you would say
Philly cheesesteak.
Sure. Yes.
Or cheesesteak.
Or cheesesteak.
Okay.
So here we go. I'm going to start out easy, and then I'll go hard.
Okay.
All right. And by hard, I mean maybe not as
Oh, not like a hard roll.
No.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
All right. I'm reading the contents. If I need to mention the type of bread, I will.
Okay.
But I'm just going to read the contents. All right. Number one, sauerkraut, corned beef, Swiss cheese, Thousand Island dressing.
Okay.
All right. Chris, you say?
Reuben.
Correct. It is Reuben. And usually served on a rye bread. Mm-hmm. And some of these might be international.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Peanut butter and marshmallow fluff.
Oh.
You know, originally I was going to do a quiz where I'm going to read each ingredient and then you have to buzz in. But if you buzz in wrong, then you get super penalized. So if I say peanut butter and you buzz and you're like, oh, it's going to be PB&J. You actually get it wrong because you didn't listen. All right, Chris.
Fluffernutter.
Correct. And this is a New England.
This is a New England thing.
Yeah.
Because the company that makes the stuff you got to put on it, marshmallow fluff, it doesn't travel very well. You know?
Hmm.
Yeah,
you don't find marshmallow fluff on the West Coast.
If you go to a special Cost Plus World Market or something like that, you can find it, but that's like it, yeah. It's different from, like, you find, like, Kraft whipped marshmallow.
Yeah.
You know, in the sandwich aisle, maybe. It's not the same thing. It's not.
Whoa, really?
It is different.
I've never had it before, the fluffernutter.
The original fluffernutter.
It's like a peanut butter and candy sandwich.
Sounds like it.
It's great when you're a kid, but as an adult, maybe not so much. But it is really good.
Okay.
Next sandwich, salami, mortadella, mozzarella, ham, provolone, and olive salad. The meats are mortadella, salami, ham. Cheeses are mozzarella and provolone, and then olive salad. And here's a disclaimer. I mean, these are the common ingredients. There might be some
variants.
But these are the common ingredients. Olive salad being your big differentiating factor.
Mm-hmm.
All right, answers up. Chris, you say.
I don't know. I put the Italian combo.
Oh, I would have said combo, but said Italian heart attack.
I just put the Sicilian.
This is known in New Orleans as a muffaletta.
Oh, I know that word.
Muffaletta sandwich.
I've heard that word. I did not know that's what it is.
Usually in a round bun bread.
Okay.
Not a bun, but it's round. It's not like in a slice or it's not in a submarine long bread. Muffaletta,
Okay, I've heard that before. I did not know that's what it is.
Yep. All right, next one. Ham. Roasted pork, Swiss cheese, pickles, and mustard. Ham, roasted pork. Everybody got it. All right, Chris.
Cuban sandwich.
Cubano.
Correct. It is the Cuban sandwich. And notably, it is also grilled around the bread. It's like flattened, kind of like a pressed sandwich.
A panini.
Yeah, panini pressed. Doing good, you guys. Doing good.
Okay.
Here's the next one. assorted meats.
Assorted meats. It could okay.
be, it could
All
be
right.
assorted meat.
Okay.
Peppers, cilantro, pickled carrots, and pate. Assorted meats, peppers, cilantro, pickled carrots, and pate. I expect everybody in this room to know what it is. Chris.
I put a banh mi.
Banh mi.
Banh mi for
Correct.
Me.
Is yeah. banh mi.
It's the pickled carrots thing that pushed me over the top.
Yeah. See, for me, it's the pate.
It was the pate yeah, that gave it to me. Yeah.
So, not pate. So banh mi is a famous Vietnamese-style sandwich. And what's interesting about it, because it's Vietnamese, it also kind of shows that the traces of French colonialism yeah. through the pate
right.
and through the baguette. The sandwich is in a baguette bread. But here's the thing. The name banh mi applies to bread. It's not the sandwich.
Oh,
now
really?
It's called the sandwich, but really it's referring to the bread. Yeah, very interesting.
That
so this is.
Is
why I love this sandwich list on Wikipedia. All right. Okay, next one. Uh-huh. Ingredients are peanut butter.
Okay.
Banana and bacon. What sandwich is this? Peanut butter, banana, and bacon.
Sounds tasty to me, but
do we need a hint?
No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Dana's like, okay.
Uh-oh, Dana.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, hold on a second.
Did they not prescribe this to you in the hospital?
No.
Like, for 9 months, just eat this. You'll be fine.
I mean, now I'm like, I feel like I've been missing out. But.
And the hint, I was, and Dana locked in her answer, but the hint is the whole thing is deep fried afterwards. All right, Chris, wow. your answer.
Oh, I put the Elvis.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
I said the PB cubed.
PB cubed?
Because it's yeah. PBBB.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Colin?
I put the Elvis Presley.
It is called the Elvis. Another international one. Ingredients are French fries, salt and vinegar, or ketchup.
What's it called? BuzzFeed always puts a picture of this up. Always. So many times.
Has a very
British
jaunty name.
I got it. I know it.
I don't think I know this one.
I know this.
All right, you know what? I'm going to put, yeah, Chris can say his answer last.
All right.
Colin.
I just put the white boy.
It's not bad.
Okay, it's not the chippy. That's the shop you get it from. It's like on the tip of my tongue.
Is it British?
It's British. I forget.
Chris?
I believe this would be called in England a chip buddy or a
yes.
bap.
A bap.
A chip buddy or bap.
Yeah.
It is literally a sandwich of French fries and your preferred condiment.
It's exactly what you imagine it looks like.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tastes like.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not, there's nothing mysterious about it. What do they do to it? No. Nope.
It's not even a very
toasted bread.
French fries go in the sandwich.
It's very
bread.
Straightforward.
Yep.
Very
okay.
straightforward.
All right.
Yes, a bap. Yeah.
Okay. Next one. We got a few more.
Okay.
Ham and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Bechamel sauce.
Oh.
And an egg on top.
That's what I was waiting for the last bit there.
Yeah, good one. Ham, cheese, bechamel sauce, and an egg on top. I'm not saying it's not inside. That's why I have to.
Oh, of course not. Not if you're making it right.
All
right.
Right?
Am I right? Am I right?
Chris.
Croque Madame.
Monte
Dana.
Cristo.
Croque Madame.
Yes, Croque Madame is right.
Yes.
Croque Monsieur doesn't have the egg.
No egg.
Which is kind of makes sense. The lady one has the egg. I don't know.
I'm not exaggerating. When I have been in Paris, and I've been lucky enough to go to Paris, I had Croque Madame every day. Every day.
Yeah. Do you like it better than Croque Monsieur?
I do.
Because
I like
the egg.
Yeah.
Like the
egg is better. Yeah.
Last one. Ham and cheese.
Yeah.
French toast and jam. All right, Chris.
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo. Yes, let's make a sandwich with French toast as the bread.
Yeah.
And put some breakfasty stuff inside. Yeah. There you go.
That may have been, like, I'm thinking back, like, my first introduction to the sweet and savory concept as a kid. You know, I was like, oh, you can do that?
They put powdered sugar. I don't know. I don't like powdered sugar on my sandwiches.
Yeah.
I am a member, generally, of the Clean Plate Club, but, like, we went to Disneyland.
Yes, they're famous for the Monte Cristo.
Blue Bayou restaurant that does the Monte Cristo. So we ordered this thing. They make a ham and cheese sandwich, you know, on bread and everything. Then they dip it in enough basically like donut batter to create a whole donut. But they cut it into triangles. And then they dip each piece in tons of batter. I ate half of this sandwich and I was like, I literally cannot keep eating this sandwich. It was like I had just eaten half a sandwich, but also it was covered in two donuts.
Like two donuts, yeah.
Like a Luther.
Like a Vandross burger.
Disney, straight up trying to murder me, wants me to eat two more donuts and another half a sandwich.
Four donuts.
At the same sitting and then go on the teacups.
Well, you know, the Monte Cristo is all about revenge, Chris.
As in the phrase.
And
Monte Cristo's revenge. Which I'm pretty sure is correct.
That's all for my quiz, but I want to share some cool sandwich facts.
Ooh. With you guys. Like sandwich highlights?
Like, yeah, sandwich highlights. You know, like nobody, because I try to find sandwiches that most people know. I'm not going to go to inside sandwich.
Right.
But, you know, between the we've mentioned Dagwood before. It's named after the comic.
Yeah.
There's the Dagwood sandwich. That's pretty much just a double, triple, quadruple, whatever decker of anything.
Yeah. Just a giant sandwich.
Is called the Dagwood with the olive on top.
My dad would have called those, like, growing up, a giant sandwich. Like, I got yourself a Dagwood there.
There is a sandwich called guajolota.
Okay.
And I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. This is in Spanish, guajolota. It is a tamale in a roll.
Huh.
Okay.
So this is a tamale in bread.
This sounds like the classic, the classic Earl of Sandwich where it's like, I want to eat with my hands.
Yeah.
I want to eat a tamale, but I want to hold it.
Like,
slap that sucker in some bread.
Tamales are already pretty easy to eat.
Put it in a tortilla.
But it's hot though.
Yeah, okay. Oh, true.
It's steamed. Yeah. Tamale is like steamed.
They don't usually hold their.
Yeah.
True.
And also has the leaves and stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
I see this all the time. I didn't know it had a regional name. A Juicy Lucy.
Oh, I've never heard that. What is that?
A cheeseburger with the cheese stuffed inside the meat patty.
Okay.
Oh, cheese stuffed meat patty is called a Juicy Lucy.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds gross.
No, but there's the hot dogs with the cheese inside.
No, not the cheese in the hamburger.
Oh, the
name is like,
sounds a little blue.
So, yeah, I highly recommend the list of sandwiches on Wikipedia.
Well, so let me ask you this, Karen.
Yeah.
Because this has been a hotly debated topic on the internet over the last couple years.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, Colin, no.
No, Karen. No, Colin. I have to. Oh, I have. She's our expert.
The show
Karen,
up until this point has been so good.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Interesting.
I say no.
I say no.
Like, I would say it is a sandwich. The way a hamburger is a sandwich, because it's cooked meat inside a bread. But, and then I was like, oh, but is a corn dog a sandwich? And I was like, if a Monte Cristo is a sandwich, which
it's
is
a slippery slope, people.
To me, okay, so to me personally, and I'm no expert, but to me it's all about sandwiches usually are, the contents are flattened.
Yeah.
Whereas a hot dog is circular and round.
I'm with you.
Round stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? I shouldn't have dragged us. Yeah.
Colin, I told you.
Into this morass.
I think if the content is horizontal, it is a sandwich. If the content is round.
But what about French fries?
Well, that's between two slices of bread. That's flat. Once you eat it, it's flat. But you still eat it that way.
You gotta draw the line somewhere.
All right. I have a music quiz. Let's cut this off.
Rescue us from this swamp.
I didn't know you were serious.
Also, I don't care. It's all good.
It is themed. Okay. So be thinking about the theme.
Okay.
Okay. Is it hero?
All right.
The theme is hero. So no points for the theme because the theme is just hero.
Okay.
Every song title has the word hero
in
it.
Okay.
Some of those song titles might just be the word hero. If it doesn't have the word hero in it, it's because it has the word heroes in it. Maybe the song title is just Heroes. Anyway, it doesn't matter what the song title is because I'm going to play a clip from each of these pieces of music and I'm going to ask you for the artist.
Okay. Wait, are we?
And you are going to write down your answers. So here we go, looking for the musical artist of this piece of music. So yeah, we were all singing it earlier, but who indeed performed this musical number? Karen says Pat Benatar, Colin, and Dana both say Bonnie Tyler. It is Bonnie Tyler.
Darn, yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yes,
about.
That is correct. From the and somebody said, was it from a movie? It was from Flash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Too many indeed. Good songs from that.
Too many.
It's like
too
many.
All right. We're going to get even more difficult now with song number two.
A working class hero is something to be. When they've tortured and scared you for 20 odd years. Then they expect you to pick a career.
Well, you gotta write something down.
Oh, all right.
You gotta take career. That chance. Take a chance. Take a chance. Maybe you're gonna do good.
All right.
Karen has a couple things written down. Well, hold on. Everybody is locking in their answers. Colin wrote down something. Let's find out what everybody said. Karen was going to say Bob Dylan, but crossed it out and put Van Morrison. Colin put Bob Geldof.
Geldof.
And Dana put?
I put Free Falling Guy, and then I was like, oh, wait, Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. You're all wrong across the board.
Yeah, it was
Working Class Hero by John Lennon and Plastic Ono Band. Would have accepted just
I was going to write John Lennon. I'm like, no, it's too would obvious. It's too easy.
Liverpool.
I should have just.
I'm both obvious and easy.
Yep, overthinking it.
I'm both obvious.
continuing with that theme, here is question number three.
Song?
Yeah. That's a song.
What's the title?
Oh, the title is Heroes and Villains.
I'm...
All right, you gotta lock in something.
All right.
Gotta write down your best guess at something. Colin is locked in. Dana is locked in. Karen is writing down something here.
Hold on. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Karen says, ?, monkeys. Colin says, the mamas and the papas. And Dana says,
Fifth dimension.
Is that like a, that's Fifth Harmony. I don't know what Fifth Dimension is.
A lot of like intense harmonies.
Gotcha. Yes. Well, it was a group that did a lot of intense harmonies, and it's the Beach Boys. Smile.
I was thinking, I know Chris likes the Beach Boys. I know they do vocal harmonies. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the
Circus
song
Nightmare song.
That was the
I wrote down Gorillaz first, and then Chris said, I was like, this is 70s or 60s, and you're like, 60s. I was like, oh, it's not the Gorillaz then.
Here is a song that I'm sure you all anticipated would be in such a quiz. Which
I'm
going to
write down my answer first.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, I have a guess too.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Karen's going blind now.
All right.
And here it is.
And you cast your fears aside because you know you can survive. When you feel all hope is gone.
Thank you. Is everybody in? Dana says Aretha Franklin. Colin says Aretha Franklin. And Karen says Aretha Franklin. Run the board. Yes, that is Aretha Franklin's cover of Hero, as made famous by Mariah Carey. Good job on that one.
She has such a cool
voice. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I was kind of thinking that towards the end, maybe you guys would get it if you were having a little trouble. So you did. You came through for me.
Good design.
Thanks. Yeah. Here we go. Karen says Creed. Oh. Colin says Foo Fighters. Oh, and Dana says Foo Fighters. Yes, it is Foo Fighters.
I got mixed up with another song.
My Hero by Foo Fighters.
I was like, is it Nickelback or Creed?
I can see that.
Guarantee that you here in the Good Job Brain studio have never heard this song before. I guarantee that you have heard this singer before.
Okay.
So let's play. Listen to the voice of the singer and try to identify the band, because it is the same band. It's just a deep cut.
Okay.
It's a deep cut. Okay. So try to listen for that voice and you might know it. Listeners at home, you may have heard this song and be like, "Oh yeah, this is a good song. Great deep cut, Chris." That's what they'll be thinking.
All right. Chris cut fries.
There we go.
That does sound familiar.
Oh, it should.
Trying to think of what other song I've heard that voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not ringing a bell for me.
You're going to love my answer.
This is not correct, but yes.
Yeah.
Well, you want to? I mean, if you don't get it, I'll let you guys talk it out.
I want to see us all reveal the same answer.
I want to see us all reveal. All right. I wish it was all the same, but it's probably for the best. Dana says Fleetwood Mac. Colin says Fleetwood Mac, and Karen says Hall and Oates. That is indeed from right before Lindsey Buckingham joined Fleetwood Mac. That is Christine McVie singing.
I thought that was Christine McVie.
And you're correct. Yes. You're absolutely right. That's her singing Heroes. Okay.
I might overthink myself once.
Yep.
I might overthink myself twice. But I will be damned if I overthink myself three times.
I love this because it was me and Chris's old rule when it was just us two playing trivia.
Right.
If we don't know a vague band, we just put Hall and Oates.
It works a lot. Yeah. Again, have you heard the song? Maybe not. But the singer has a very distinctive voice. So again, that's something good to concentrate on here. No one else can see.
Is it current or old?
It's current. Okay. It's current. Just a couple of years old, that song. So it's not old.
Oh, man. There are two bands I think it could be, but I just wrote down.
It is a solo artist.
Okay, good. That's
okay.
Good.
I'm going to give you all that hit. It's a solo artist, in case you want to change your answer.
You know what? You guys are right. I'm just going with whatever Chris likes.
Oh, well, now
sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't.
Hopefully when Mac worked I didn't get on that train.
Yeah, right, you gotta get on that train. That's good. Yep.
All right, well, I already wrote down a band before you said solo artist.
What's on the old iPod?
Yeah.
Colin wrote down fun. Dana wrote down Mika. Kara wrote down Mika. Yes, it is Mika.
Yes,
it is Mika. Really, Heroes.
It's not. Do you know music?
Do you know Chris?
How well do you know Chris's music?
I did not know Chris liked Mika.
And one more clip for you guys to round out this heroic music quiz. Here we go. Living under the field till nothing else remains. We don't need another hero. We don't need to know the way home. All we want is what we got. Wow, everybody very quickly wrote down Tina Turner, and everybody is very quickly correct.
Yay.
Tina Turner, We Don't Need Another Hero from
Mad Max.
Beyond
Thunderdome.
Yes, indeed. Well, pretty good. Kind of a tricky music quiz. You guys came through with some of the trickier ones, for sure. Karen eventually caught on to the when in doubt, just go with what I know is on Chris's iPod.
Yes. This is an iPod anymore.
iPhone. All right. Well,
all right. That's good. That's good. I have a story for you guys that involves two heroes in one way of looking at it. All in the food industry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that we like food.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to start us off here with, I want you guys to write down the answer to two questions I'm going to ask you. Okay. And if you guys get the answer to both of these, I'll be extremely impressed. I encourage you to just go ahead and guess.
Okay.
All right. And I promise you, these questions will be connected in the end. Question the first. What is the only national fast food chain restaurant prohibited from doing business in Mattoon, Illinois?
Wow.
So go ahead and you'll either know it or you won't. Take a guess. Take a guess. National fast food chain restaurant not allowed by law to do business in Mattoon, Illinois. Second question. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, how heavy is the world's largest bagel?
How heavy is the world?
Okay. Actually baked? Take a guess. Closest to the pound will win here.
Sure.
Okay. Everyone got your answers down there?
Yeah, all right. Why not?
Okay. All right. So hold your answers. Just hold on there. We'll come for a second. All right. This is a story that I stumbled across, thanks to, Atlas Obscura. I don't know if you guys, they're a fantastic website. I follow them on Twitter. They publish, you know, I mean, just in a nutshell, they write about unknown or little known or weird or obscure places. Big tip of the hat to them right at the top of my segment here. In Mattoon, Illinois. All right. In the 1950s, there was a husband and wife named Gene and Betty Hoots, H-O-O-T-S.
Okay. That's a very 50s.
It's such a 50s. Yeah,
name.
Gene and Betty Hoots, and
did they start Hooters?
They did not start Hooters.
Oh man!
If you wrote down Hooters, you're wrong. It's not Hooters.
That's where we celebrated Valentine's Day.
That is. We did do that.
How romantic.
Not with each other. No.
Okay.
His baby was there too.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The waitresses love him.
Gene and Betty Hoots were getting into the restaurant business, and they bought an existing ice cream shop. The name of the ice cream shop was the Frigid Queen.
Yes.
This is 1952.
That sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy. The Frigid Queen. So they bought, it was an ice cream shop, and they, you know, in the spirit of the 50s, they added your burgers and fries to the menu.
Sure.
Straight burgers and fries to the menu. Mm. All right. And again, I'm quoting liberally here from Atlas Obscura. In need of a name change, Gene suggested renaming the shop to the Hot Dames. But Betty pointed out that, quote, every queen needs a king. So Gene registered the name of his new restaurant. They're changing it to as Burger King. In 1959. Okay. And on the advice of his uncle, who had owned the restaurant before, they bought it. It was a within the family Frigid Queen purchase. Gene, so he advised him, you know, you should register the name as an Illinois state trademark. So they did. All right. And, you know, that might seem like a meaningless distinction, but it turns out. So Burger King, the national, famous, well-known chain Burger King, they started in the 50s down in Florida, and they hadn't gotten to Illinois until the 60s. Okay. So they started expanding into Illinois. They started setting up, you know, franchises in the state of Illinois, and the Hoots family filed a lawsuit, an Illinois state lawsuit, claiming we have territorial rights to be the Burger King. You guys cannot come in here from out of town and be Burger King. The chain responded with a lawsuit. So,
really?
This is a federal suit. Burger King of Florida Incorporated versus Hoots. Yes. And they hired their fancy lawyers to go show down the local Mattoon, Illinois family. And the courts ruled on the Hoots side. They said that the Burger King could not operate anywhere within a 20-mile radius of Mattoon, Illinois. Okay?
So Burger King, the franchise, still got the rest of the state.
They could operate in the state. That's right. So because the Hoots has just had the one restaurant, they didn't have a chain. You know, I mean, it seems fair.
Yeah.
But they said, no, you cannot come into Mattoon and cause confusion.
I guess, although they had the trademark for the state. For the whole state.
You know, being a good judge is about finding compromise, maybe. So so Burger King, they lost. They still want to do business. They offered Gene and Betty Hoots $10,000. It doesn't sound like a lot, even in 1960s dollars. That doesn't sound like a lot, necessarily.
Yeah.
So they say, we'll give you $10,000 if we can, you know, if you'll lay down your claim and allow us to open up a restaurant inside the 20-mile radius. And they said, no. They said, no, we do not want your money. We do not want you operating to this day, right now, today. If you're driving through Illinois, the closest Burger King to Mattoon is in Tuscola, 23 miles away, just outside the border.
And
Illinois,
it's still operating.
Yeah. Still operating. You can still go there
that's
today.
Awesome.
Yep, yep. All right. So the answer to the first question is, if you guys put Burger King,
No one
got it. All right. Well, so the Hootses in my book are, you know, just underdog hero. They are standing up for their family restaurant, standing up to the team of loyalty. They were the first Burger King.
They kind of won, but that's like a.
Yeah. You don't think it's
a. You should have gotten like a royalty, like every year get X percentage of Burger King.
They own Burger King in Illinois.
Yeah. Profits,
So as I was doing research on this original Burger King in Mattoon, Illinois, I noticed a couple times I would type in Mattoon and Google would autocomplete for me. I type in Mattoon, Illinois, and it would autocomplete world's largest bagel. And I'm not, all right, well, now this is interesting. Well, now I've fallen down enough trivia holes.
I've eaten some pretty big bagels. I want to see this.
Now, let's flash back. I don't even know the exact episode, but Chris educated us once
yes.
a while ago about the history of the Lenders Bagels Corporation.
It's in the book.
Yes, it is in the book. And Lenders Bagels, they're at least famous in the U.S., from Chris's home state of Connecticut, the Lender family, proud nutmeg staters. Yep. So, Chris, you were telling us a story about Lenders. One of their main innovations in the world of bagels was frozen bagels.
Indeed.
Right. So, as part of the expanding Lenders Bagels empire, you know, into the 1980s, they opened up a production. They opened up a bagel factory in Mattoon, Illinois. And because this is the 1980s, we're now overlapping echoes of good job brain past.
No.
So Lenders came to Mattoon, Illinois in the 1980s and basically said, all right, these are bagels, everyone.
This is exactly. You know, we're Jewish.
Yes, exactly.
Jewish, and these are bagels.
So,
scratching their heads.
Murray Lender, who was the second generation running of the Lender, he was just Mr. Bagel. He was the number one cheerleader for bagels. He wanted the town of Mattoon, Illinois, to really embrace their new bagel
heritage.
Their new bagel, their pending bagel heritage. So They started, so under, with Murray Lender's very strong influence, the town of Mattoon, Illinois, started having, and then is Bagel Fest.
Yes.
Okay.
A week-long, at one point, week-long celebration of bagels and, you know, music and crafts and foods and arts. Really all around bagels, right. It sounds like these days it's down to now just a three-day affair.
Right.
Okay.
7 days worth of bagels being...
I mean, it takes all week to get it through your system.
Yes, that was the motto of Bagel Fest. It was eat it Saturday, poop it on Friday.
Yeah. You're good to go by next weekend.
So yes, the Mattoon, Illinois Lender's Bagel Factory, at one point making a million bagels a day.
Wow.
I mean, this is just huge, huge bagel center.
So many bagels.
So
the bagels don't have a center.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.
I can't.
They decided, you know, one of the best ways to get publicity is, you know, Guinness record type stuff. So they decided, let's go ahead and create the world's largest bagel. So I'm going to show you guys a photo here, and I apologize to you, dear podcast listeners. Okay. You cannot see this photo of a 563-pound bagel.
That's incredible.
That is basically 6 feet across in diameter, sitting on a giant scale in downtown Mattoon, Illinois.
Wow.
So this is the centerpiece, if you will, of Bagel Fest.
Okay.
That, it looks delicious.
Yeah. So this was
a child leaning on it.
Yeah.
You can. That's like a child can. It's like a lazy river.
Like a pool. An inner tube.
It is. It's like one of those giant-sized inner tube bagels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was 1996, world record bagel, 563 pounds. Karen, what did you write down?
562.
Amazing.
Crazy. Wow. I'm stunned.
Okay.
Just imagine the cream cheese.
Well, so now that was 1996, and they got them in the Guinness Book of World Records. You know, they came down to Mattoon, Illinois, certified it, had the bagel, people taking photos.
Right.
All right. 2 years later.
What flavor?
Plain.
I'm guessing it would be plain.
You know,
should have made it watermelon flavor with real big watermelons in there.
Or
to
just
weight it
like
down.
An onion bagel, but it's just entire onions.
Yeah. Like to weight it.
Yeah, they're cheating. They're whole onions.
Lead bagel.
Right.
So I believe the original was just a plain bagel.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so 2 years later, 1998. They got such good press and such good recognition from the original record. They said, no, we're going to top ourselves. So Lender's Bagels, they went and they produced a 714-pound blueberry bagel.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. Maybe on your idea, Chris, of getting some fruit in there nice and dense. Yeah.
Right. Make it a little healthier.
And again... It was paraded down Mattoon. It was part of Bagel Fest. So I was just so blown away that this one town, you know, in Illinois can not only have the, you know, Burger King basically excluded from town, but also the world's largest bagel. I mean, what else do you need?
Me personally, nothing.
Chris loves, that's one of his favorite foods.
I'm on Orbit's booking flight right now. Do you think they're finished eating it yet? Or do you think there's still some
left? Do you think people get to eat it?
You know, that's... You know, so I read that they would march it in the parade and that it would be on display for a while.
I don't think anyone
eats it. I think it kind of gets just they kind of wait until it gets a little gamey and maybe
worms eat it.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you guys something because every now and again I share a culinary thing that I learned. But we went back to New England. We visited a place with a breakfast restaurant in Maine with a very good job brand name, Doc Hollandaise.
Doc Hollandaise?
A breakfast. Uh-huh.
The real Doc Holliday from Maine? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
They just
really
like the
yeah, yeah, okay.
Doc
okay.
Hollandaise. Yeah. Show up and we got some things, but then I was like, oh, I want to get a bagel. Can I have a bagel? And they said, yeah, do you want that toasted or grilled? And then like my childhood memories came flooding back to me like, oh, that's right. Like in New England, sometimes they would grill bagels.
Wait, what do you mean grill?
What do I mean grill? I mean, they take the bagel, cut it in half.
They put on a barbecue
spread
grill?
A thin layer of... No, so griddled, really. It's
griddled,
technically... call it a grilled bagel, but technically it's griddled. So spread
hot.
A thin layer of butter on it. Do it on a flat top instead of doing it in the toaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then put cream cheese on it. And then eat it like that. I'm like,
that's like a...
It's like a
grilled cheese, like the surface of a grilled cheese.
I gotta tell you, I had this and I was just like, I eat a lot of toasted bagels and I ate this grilled bagel and I was like, oh my god, it's so good. The heat kind of coming off of the grill really softens up the bagel. It really makes it like so chewy and moist versus toasting, which dries it out. It's just delicious. And so I would really encourage you, if you have a nice, like, big, like, flat frying pan or a griddle or something like that, try griddling your bagels.
I wonder if you could ask at a restaurant to do it, because like they do it with like hamburger buns.
They do, but it's so completely unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there more?
Well, just a little bit. It's a little bit of a bittersweet coda.
I was trying to tag on to the end.
No, I mean, there's just so much just bursting forth. The company was sold, Lender's Bagels was sold in 2003. And I don't think this is a coincidence, but the very next year, Brugger's Bagels of New York decided they were going to throw down the gauntlet and take over the world's largest bagel mantle. And they, in fact, have. Unfortunately, since 2004, the world's largest bagel is now 868 pounds displayed at the New York State Fair. So Brugger's Bagels of New York has the current record. But I like to think that they waited until they sold the company, because Murray Lender, it sounds like, was personally invested in having the Guinness World Record. Mm-hmm. It was almost like, this man is Mr. Bagel. Let's not take it away from him. Murray Lender, he died at 81 in 2012. Mm-hmm. And the I'm taking this from a citation I found. The Washington Post called him, quote, the most important man in the modern history of bagels.
Oh, yeah. A true hero. Yeah. No,
a
no
true
doubt.
Bagel sure. hero.
No doubt.
So if you're a resident of Mattoon, Illinois, you are just steeped in history.
Enjoy.
Enjoy it.
Now I really want a bagel. All right, my turn. I have one last quiz.
All right.
Oh, mm-hmm. This is the surprise.
This is a surprise. It has something to do with a theme, but these are questions first. There's a theme, but don't think too hard on theme. Let's just answer some questions first.
Okay. All right.
Some cool tech questions.
All right. Buzzing in?
Buzzing in.
Buzzing in.
Speed skaters, wear an underlayer made out of what material to protect them from skate blade wounds in case if there was a fall or like a collision or, you know, a collar.
Kevlar.
Correct. Did you know that already?
I did know that.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to guess that. Yeah. Well, I mean, because it would have a lot of trouble. The skate wouldn't be able to cut through the Kevlar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kevlar, famously more known in bulletproof vests and stuff.
So-called.
Bullet-resistant vests.
Yeah.
How it works is it absorbs all of the energy, the impact of the bullet. And so, and it just redistributes because Kevlar is made out of really tightly packed, like,
filaments.
Fibers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, it's so weird because bullet is a thing, whereas a blade is like a slicer. You know what I mean? It kind of seems different. But yes, they wear it in case if one person falls, everybody falls, or skates in your leg. And so it helps them.
The speed skating skates are really
sharp.
Really sharp. Yeah.
Really, really sharp. All right. Next question. Tech mogul Elon Musk of SpaceX and Tesla recently announced that Tesla will begin selling what item later this year?
I know.
2017. They will be selling what?
Yeah.
Tesla will be selling what? Dana.
Self-driving cars?
Incorrect.
No.
It's not the battery.
The funny thing is, the Tesla will be selling this item. It has nothing to do with cars.
Okay.
And this is recently.
I feel like I just
saw
this.
To the moon.
Well, he is sending people to the moon.
I know.
Yeah.
Mars.
But that's under SpaceX.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is under Tesla. A solar roof.
Oh, right.
Really?
When you think of solar panels, I think of those giant big boards of the grids that live on top of your roof that you put on. Yeah. These things are crazy. They are roof tiles.
Yeah.
The solar panel is a single roof tile that looks like normal roof tile.
Yeah.
And it comes in four different variations. French slate that looks like slate rock. Uh-huh. There's like smooth that's like black and modern, and they tessellate like normal roofing tiles. When you look at a house, you cannot tell that there's solar panels.
Huh. That's cool.
That will be available this year to
buy. That's right. That's right.
Smart. All right. Next question. Where on your car you might find something that uses the simple arc, eccentric arc, or pantograph system? Where on your car can you find, let me repeat, the simple arc system, the eccentric arc system, or the pantograph system? Call it.
Your windshield wipers.
Correct. Yeah. Those are terms for the different movement and patterns of windshield wipers. Do you know what? I had to look up what pantograph is. Pantograph, we've seen it all before. I didn't know this name. Sure. Kind of accordion. It's a
tracing,
wooden,
like a tracing drawing machine.
Tracing machine. Mm-hmm. You know what
you want? You didn't have one of those when you were a kid?
No.
Oh, I had one of those when I was
it's
a kid.
It's like a weird accordion thing, and then you attach one pencil, and then you draw with another pencil, and it like recreates or scales.
Yeah.
So that is kind of makes sense where they're all connected on one linear thing.
That also makes sense that there would be like so many different fancy terms for
the way mechanism. Your windshield wipers. It does. Yeah. There's like currently, there's like 8 different movements or configurations. There's like with single blade and double blade.
I love it.
Video surveillance is sometimes commonly known as CCTV. Mm-hmm. What does CCTV stand for? Dana?
Closed circuit television?
Correct. Closed circuit television system. Last question. What board game featured a lantern, cannon, and battleship?
Lantern.
What board game featured
cannon?
A lantern, cannon, and battleship. It is not battleship.
It's not battleship.
The game.
It's not Stratego.
Monopoly.
It's not lantern, cannon.
Someone want to give me an answer?
Is it Risk?
No, it is not Risk.
Hmm.
Data.
Is it Monopoly?
It is Monopoly. Past tense, featured.
Oh, right. Featured. That's right. We've even talked about
lantern,
that.
Lantern, cannon, and battleship. All right. So here we are. We got Kevlar. We got windshield wipers. We got solar panels. We got CCTV. We got Monopoly. There's something in common
between all
of these things.
Say that again. Kevlar.
Kevlar, CCTV, Monopoly, solar panels, windshield wipers. And this episode is about heroes.
Yes.
I know Karen loves Batman.
Are you going with that?
That would be really funny.
Kevlar, CCTV.
Invented by military people.
Was it Kevlar? No.
Monopoly was by...
They're all invented by a woman?
Yes, they're all invented by women!
Oh, okay.
Lady
I knew
inventors!
Kevlar, okay, yeah. I was like, Kevlar, yes. Monopoly, yes. Yeah.
Yes. So Kevlar was developed by Stephanie Kwolek.
DuPont.
Yep, at DuPont. Yeah. And it was kind of like one of those accidents. I was trying to make this type of rubber, and then this happened.
Yeah, I think she was developing tires, I think was what she was working on.
Accidentally developed fibers. Windshield wipers. So a lot of these inventions, like there might be other variants of it, but American inventor Mary Anderson is popularly credited devising the first operational windshield wiper.
When was that? When were those invented?
1903.
Oh, wow. That's,
yes.
Oh, okay.
So she's like, hey, these windows are getting dirty. Yeah.
It's real hard to see when it's raining.
Physicist Dr. Maria Telkes, or Telkes, built the first home entirely heated by solar power in 1947.
Wow.
Good
job. 1947.
Good job. Yeah.
And CCTV, the first commercial closed circuit television system, became available in 1949 called Vericon. And what it was used for, it was to see who was outside your door. So all of these are some lady inventors who are real heroes of inventing some life-changing stuff.
I like
Maybe
it.
Not Monopoly. Mm-hmm. No, Monopoly can be life-changing. Life. Yeah. It makes people angry.
Right. Yeah, seriously.
That way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool.
And that's our show. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about hero sandwiches, lady inventors, songs, and Mahoon. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, Good Job Brain. And we'll see you guys next week. Road to 200.
Bye.
Bye.